Good morning. Good to see you here. This is a beautiful Lord's Day, Sunday. And we rejoice this past week. Nathaniel Bennett Chung was born July the 10th to Eric and Davina. And praise the Lord for that. Continue to pray for them and for the baby. Had some few issues with breathing, but we thank the Lord for his safe arrival. Also, some things we need to remember in prayer. This week, our CYIA youth begin their five-day clubs, so we want to remember them in prayer. And we've prayed already for them as a group, but we want to remember them in prayer. We also want to pray for the team that's in Taiwan. From our church, we have Robert, Jean, and Jacob, and then they've joined a couple other churches there and Taiwan, and they begin this week with their the work that they're doing there in Taiwan. So we want to remember them also in prayer. Everybody should have a handout. If you did not get one, maybe put some in the back. Anybody comes in, but everybody should have a handout and help us to follow along here as we look at that handout. Today we're looking at Nabal and Abigail. I don't know if you know the story of Nabal and Abigail. Very interesting. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. And she was an intelligent and beautiful woman. But her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. And he was a Cabalite. Let's bow in prayer as we begin. Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day. We can come and worship you. We have the freedom to do so. And we lift up our hearts to you. Lord, we do praise you for Nathaniel's birth. We pray for him. Your hand be upon him and help him. Lord, we pray for CYIA youth as they go out this week. Give them safety. Watch over them. Protect them. Bless your word as it goes forth. Give them the boldness to give forth your word. And pray that we know that your word does not return void. It would go forth and work in hearts. Father, we pray for the team in Taiwan. Your blessing be upon them and the churches there as they come together and bless this week of their camp. Lord, we thank you. We ask that your Spirit would open our eyes and our hearts, that your Spirit would move, and that we would be receptive to hear your word. Pray for your anointing, Lord, to speak forth the words you would have to be said. And we give you thanks and praise. We lift up your name. We exalt you. And we pray that you would be honored. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this family here, we might ask first of all this question. What is fool and what is foolish? As we look at this, what is fool and what is foolish? In the Old Testament, Kessel refers to a fool, a stupid or shameless person. It's used solely of humanity and found only in the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, you know, the books of Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. It is not only one who hates knowledge and takes no pleasure in understanding, but is one who displays a defective moral character. Very interesting. Moral character. Our character is connected to being a fool. He takes sport in doing mischief and displays dishonor. Is closely associated with the word folly. And the fool feeds on folly. He enjoys it. So that his heart proclaims it and his mouth spouts it out. And God's people are warned about being foolish. Because foolishness causes one to repeat mistakes. We all make mistakes, but foolishness causes us to repeat those mistakes as a dog returns to his vomit. Foolishness brings strife. Foolishness ultimately destroys the fool. And in Proverbs 1, verse 7, reminded this verse here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So fool, we can all... Sometimes we do foolish things. We are foolish and fooled. But the other word I want us to consider here is also the word wise or wisdom. In the Old Testament, Hakem can be translated shrewd, crafty, intelligent, prudent, clever, or cunning. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. A wise person conforms to the Word of God. It's also used being skillful in technical work. We need wisdom and that skill. Weavers and sailors and shipbuilders and metal goldsmiths were all referred to as being wise, having this word for wisdom. Woodcrafters, those who built the tabernacle and the furniture there in the tabernacle were wise men, were considered wise. And so Proverbs 2, verse 6 reminds us of this, that for the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So what's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Knowledge comes from learning. We go to school, we acquire education, and that is knowledge. But wisdom comes from living, and we all see where wisdom also comes from, the source of wisdom. And so wisdom, every person, our theme here, every person can be wise by knowing the ways to gain wisdom and the ways to avoid foolishness. And so we want to be wise, and we want to avoid foolishness. I remember in college, we had, all these different professors that had their PhD. They were Dr. Neal and Dr. Custer and Dr. This and Dr. That. And then there was one man on the stage, his name was literally Mr. Wisdom. That was his name. Wisdom was his family name. Later he became Dr. Wisdom. But I thought that was interesting that, it's not, acquiring all this education, although education is fine, but there's very important that we gain wisdom and to be wise. So let's look first of all here, number one, as you fill out that there, first of all, wisdom, having true friends. Write that down, true friends. Look here at what this tells us in chapter 25 now. Samuel died. The last of the judges, the first of the prophets, died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him at his home in Ramah. Samuel was a kind of a spiritual mentor, a counselor that every leader needs. It's not just book education, but we need the mentors and people who will be our counselors that can help us out. And he put the concerns of God ahead of the politics of the hour. To Samuel, pleasing the Lord was far more important than being popular with people. And that ought to be remembering to please God in everything. So here, what are the characteristics of true friends? We all need friends, but we need to consider what are the characteristics of true friends. First of all, in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. We need friends, not just at all times, but especially in those difficult times we go through. We need friends that can stick close to us and help us through those times. And then we see here that also true friends show love and support. One who is unreliable, who has unreliable friends, soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So true friends give us love, give us support. Now, think about this. In life, we never lose friends. We only learn who the true ones are. We have various friends, but that inner circle, those close friends, those true friends. Another thing that a true friend reminds us is that a true friend also comforts in sorrows. When Job, you remember the story of Job, his three friends came to him. They heard of all the troubles that had come upon him, And they set out from their homes and met him by agreement to go and sympathize with him and to comfort him. So their intent was to comfort him. They sat with him as he went through his difficulties, his trials, and at first they were there just to comfort him. Then they began to speak. But that's another story. But true friends are there to comfort us. When we, just to be there is a true friend. True friend also gives encouragement. I'm reminded in Third Epistle of John, verse 5, "Dear friend, you are faithful in what you're doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. Encouraging one another is what a true friend does." So, a true friend won't let you face tough times alone. We all go through times of difficulty, times of trial, and we need a true friend to be there. So our first application here is, you would consider this, every person can be wise by having true friends. We need to have around us some true friends that will encourage us, that will comfort us. But I'm also reminded of this, in John 15:15, Jesus is a true friend. He said these words to his disciples, "Instead, I have called you friends." You're not just servants, but you're friends. "For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You are my friends, and He is our friend." He sticketh, as Proverbs says, "a friend who sticketh closer than a brother." So it's very important, first of all, as we seek after wisdom, that we have true friends. And then I want to remind you, secondly, we avoid bad friends. So we saw how Samuel is a true friend. But here we come to this man by the name of Nabal. And a certain man in Maon who had property there at Carmel. And he was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. And his name was Nabal. And surely and mean in his dealings. He was a Calebite. Now, he was mean and dishonest in his dealings, is what that means. He acquired very much wealth, but perhaps he did this by dishonest means. And he became wealthy. The name Caleb can also means a dog. So he was very much like a stubborn, vicious animal that nobody could safely approach. In fact, it says this of him. He was such a wicked man that no one could talk to him. No one could talk to him. That was Nabal. All right? So, what are the characteristics of bad friends? And we need to be aware of this. First of all, bad friends give bad advice. Please pay it no attention to that wicked Nabal. Don't listen to him. He'll give you bad advice. He's just like his name. His name means fool. And folly goes with him. Alright, so there are those who are foolish. And they're foolish friends and they get bad advice. And one of his own servants called him a son of Baal. And even his own wife called him a son of Baal. Now, this means someone who is selfish, arrogant, and rebellious. The word Baal speaks of this, even in the Old Testament and New Testament. A wicked, rebellious person. So we see here another example of this is Rehoboam. And Rehoboam's bad friends gave him bad advice. He got good advice, but chose instead to follow the bad advice. And so we see the example of that. So, a bad friend. Also, we need to learn that a bad friend's double-cross us. They're not to be trusted. Even my close friend, Someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, has turned against me. In Psalm 41, verse 9, this is really like a prophecy of Judas. Judas double-crossed. Judas betrayed the Lord. Someone who I trusted. He was among the 12. He was even the treasurer in the group. Took care of the money. He shared my bread. He was there at the Last Supper. But he has turned against me. And so this is what happens, a bad friend. A bad friend can also lead us away from the Lord. Let's beware of this. Bad friends. Proverbs 22. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person, a person who's easily angry. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. So, this person can lead us away from the Lord. And this is a warning we all need to take heed to. We see our children or our grandchildren going off to college, or even in high school years, choosing wrong friends who lead them away from the Lord. It burdens our hearts. It breaks our hearts to see that. You know, think about this. Application 2. Every person can be wise by avoiding bad friends. Bad friends. I think of this here. Bad friends are like paper cuts. Have you ever got a paper cut before? Ever got a paper cut on your finger? Both are annoyingly painful and make you wish you were more careful. A bad friend. And so we need to be very careful in choosing friends. And then number 3, we also need to look at this as not acting rashly and angrily. Nabal rejected David. His followers, 400 men, had protected all his sheep. And now at the shearing, there was going to be a feast, and David wanted to know if his men could come and join at the feast and be part of that feast, because certainly they had helped protect. And Nabal, instead, he insulted them. And David immediately became angry when he heard of this. And he swore revenge on Nabal. David's anger got the best of him and didn't stop to consult the Lord. Didn't ask, well, what do I do about this? Instead, he rushed out to satisfy his passion for revenge. And had David succeeded, he would have committed a terrible sin and done great damage to his character, his career. But the Lord mercifully stopped him. And so, here's a question we all need to consider. Where is your anger? How do we control? Second question here. How do we control our anger? Now, you think about where is your anger? Here's a little anger meter for you, if that helps you. The anger meter is simply scaling tool that can be used to monitor your anger. Where are you at in your anger? Maybe you want to ask somebody this question. You want to know where they're at. Number 1, you're calm. Things are going well. Nothing is bothering you. All right? Number 2, you're mildly irritated. Something happened and it bothers you a little bit, but it's not too much of a problem, so you can let it go and move on. All right? You're a little bit irritated. All right? So you kind of want to observe, is that person a little bit irritated? All right, husbands, you know, we need to be aware of this. Is she a little bit irritated? Or wives, we need to be aware of this. Is he a little bit irritated? Parents and children, so forth. Are you irritating somebody? And then the third level is frustrated. You are now upset about something, and even though you're trying to let it go, you just can't stop thinking about it or talking about it. You feel you need a break. All right? Here is the frustrated level. Feeling frustrated. All right? So maybe you do need to take a break if you're feeling frustrated. You know, beware of that frustration. And then number four, the fourth level is anger. You are mad and you can't think clearly. You feel violated in some way and you're experiencing a rage of emotions, a range of emotions. And you're coming close to saying or doing something you would regret. All right? So anger, you're reaching that boiling point. And of course, number five is the boiling point. Level five is explosive. Now you lose your cool. You can no longer control yourself. You are hitting others or threatening or throwing things. That can happen. You want to cause harm to the person, maybe, or persons you feel hurt that have hurt you. So, what does the Bible say? How do we control anger? Anger management. A little bit of anger management here. How do we control that? It's a feeling we all have, and here are the different levels. But how do we control that? Well, first of all, we're told in Psalm 37, verse 8, refrain from anger. As you go up on this chart, you're losing control. Refrain from anger. So you see anger here. And turn from wrath. I think of wrath as being the explosive part. And do not fret. There's your frustration part. It leads only to evil. So, here we have to realize we boil. It often leads to evil. Only to evil. And so, the Scripture tells us here, the Bible tells us very clearly, be slow to anger. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. That's a good verse to remember. Maybe that's a good verse for us to memorize. James 1, 19 to 20. So, sometimes we just need to stop, take a deep breath, pause, breathe, maybe take several breaths, walk away, take a moment. A lot of times, we as parents, we want to discipline our children. We want to do it in a controlled way. So when we're angry, we don't want to discipline our children in anger. So we tell them, go to your room. That gives them a time to cool off. It also gives us a time to cool off. And then we go and handle the discipline. Count to 10. Do whatever you need to do to calm down. All right? Your level of anger to calm down. I think as Christians, it's very important for us. Maybe this is, we make this, we pray about this. Lord, help me to calm down. We pray the power of prayer. We maybe have this verse we memorize, being slow to become angry, James 1, 19 to 20. Lord, asking, calling upon the Lord to help us. Realizing that, we want God to be in control and God's Spirit to be in control, even of our emotions. So here is very important. How do we control anger? And where is your anger? And then the third thing here, God, let God avenge sin. Very important, this verse. And Romans 12:9. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Let God take care of that. Oh, I wish I could get even with that person. I wish I could, that person irritates me or whatever. I feel so angry. Let God take care of that. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Maybe that's a good verse for us to put in our hearts, to memorize. In your anger, do not sin. Ephesians chapter 4. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Now, anger, the emotion of anger, some things here, if we do not get control of it, we give the devil a foothold. He can come in. We say or do things we would regret. We give the devil a foothold. in a family situation. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't be angry several days, not speaking to one another. Deal with that anger. Maybe you have to calm down first. That's okay. But we face that person, especially in a family situation. We have to face that and talk it through. And remember this, in your anger, do not sin. So let's be reminded here, application number 3, every person can be wise by not acting rashly so quickly and so angrily. We have to have control of that. And a good reminder of this is, anger is only one letter short of danger. All right? That's a good reminder. Anger is only one letter short of danger. So we go on in our anger, we lose control, and that leads to danger. And I think this is a good reminder to us. The anger, the danger of being angry. And then first of all, be the first to apologize. The first to apologize is the bravest. This is good in a marriage, this is good in a family. The first to apologize is the bravest. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I did not mean that. The first to forgive is the strongest. Be willing to forgive. That's okay. I forgive. That's all right. I'm not holding it. And the first to forget is the happiest. Be the first. Be the first to apologize. Be the first to forgive. Be the first to forget. This is important in a family. We need to learn how to control our emotions and how to control especially this of anger. And so we see number 4, we are then to act, we're supposed to be acting acting humbly and in wisdom. God arranged for a wise and courageous woman to stop David from doing what he was going to do. Abigail put together enough food for David's men. She heard about this. And she heard that she went to David, took some food to serve to David's men. And then she wasn't stealing here. She was really paying a debt that Nabal, her husband, refused to pay. All right? So she was really trying to help out. And Abigail bowed before David and acknowledged him as her Lord and King. Abigail was here as a woman of faith who believed that David was God's king. And she saw King Saul as only a man. You see in chapter 15, verse 29. And she quickly confessed that her husband was a worthless fellow. All right? She apologized for what he had done. And, apparently she wasn't there at the time it was done, and she felt, bad what was done. She gave this meal to the David's men and quickly apologized. He was a worthless fellow who lived up to his name because he was a fool. She explained that she had known nothing about David's request for food. She did not know it at the time. She accepted the blame, though, for this iniquity. I'm sorry that this has happened. And she accepted the blame. And she pointed out that the Lord had stopped David from avenging himself. And David even admitted that this was true. Abigail reminded David that the Lord had given him a sure house. That means a lasting dynasty. That David and his sons and his sons' sons, that God had raised up David and anointed him so he didn't have to fear the future. So what a picture she is of us here of wisdom. And how do we get wisdom? It's a very important question. How do I get wisdom? Wisdom is not found in books. Wisdom is not necessarily found in education. But how do we get wisdom? We all need wisdom. So it's very important for us to understand this. Number one, we receive it as a gift from God. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. James 1:5. The prayer for God's wisdom. God, give me your wisdom. Help me to know what I should say. Help me to know what I should do. Help me to control my emotions and my anger. But it also starts with the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs 9, verse 10, and again in Job 28:28, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. We need to know God who created us. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord. Fear is reverential trust. Trusting God. Surrendering to God. Believing Him is the beginning of wisdom. It also comes from listening to the wise. Reminded that walk with the wise and become a wise. And for a companion of fools suffers harm. So David was a smart man for listening to the reproof wisely given. Abigail spoke to David and warned him, and David listened. Proverbs 15, whoever heeds life-given correction will be at home among the wise. Those who disregard discipline despise themselves. But the one who heeds correction gains understanding. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. So, David was avoided acting foolishly by listening to the wisdom of Abigail gave to him. Every person can be wise by acting humbly and wisely. So we need wisdom. Now here's a picture here. A husband and a wife. In this case, the husband was foolish, the wife was wise. It could be either way. But we need to learn wisdom. So what are the results? Nabal made no profession of faith in the Lord. He did not claim to fear God. He did not claim to trust God. But he acted like Paul described in Philippians 3:19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. He was a foolish man. And you see the results of that in his life. Wisely, Abigail waited to tell her husband what she had done. She told him how she had went and fed David's men. The news so stunned Nabal that he experienced a stroke. And he laid helpless for 10 days. And then the Lord took his life. Just like that, his life was gone. For acting so foolishly. Sad to say, he died as he had lived, a fool. And when David heard the news of Nabal's death, he praised the Lord for avenging him. Letting God, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and preventing him from doing it himself. David's concern was for the glory of God. David was so impressed then with Abigail's character and wisdom that he thought she would make a good queen. So he asked for her hand in marriage. Wisdom is proved right by her actions. The Lord tells us in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 19. What are the results? If I continue in my foolish ways, what are the results? Or if I go the way of wisdom, what are the results? We need to look at that, consider that. I don't know if you've ever heard, thank you for sharing, Eming, the story there of this past week. It's interesting. Think about this. Only God could do this. Yeah, this is the World Cup. Everybody's thinking about the World Cup. And all of a sudden, 12 soccer players in a cave became the focus of the world. And their miraculous deliverance and salvation from that cave became the story of the world. It wasn't the World Cup, although today's the final of the World Cup. But it became these 12 young soccer players in a cave, and how they were miraculously rescued from that cave. That became the story around the world. Isn't that amazing what God did in that? So the focus is not on the World Cup. The focus is on rescuing these 12 boys and their coach. But I don't know if you ever heard about a miner's carry. Here's a miner, and here's a little cage that they would use to carry these canaries down in the mine with them. Do you know why? You know why they did that? Canaries were once regularly used in coal mining as an early warning system. The toxic gases such as carbon monoxide or methane in the mine would kill the bird before affecting the miners. So the signs of distress from the bird indicating to the miners that conditions were unsafe, and the use of miners' canaries and mines finally was phased out in 1986, probably animal rights or whatever. They phased that out. But wisdom in a world of foolishness is like a miner's canary to warn us of unsafe conditions. Having true friends, having those who show us the way of wisdom, so we avoid foolishness in the dark, foolish world in which we live, is like that canary. The canary sings. We listen to God's wisdom. That canary sings. We do not do foolish things. But then we do not hear that canary. We let the light of wisdom go out. And of course, God is wisdom. And I think of this verse here, Psalm 56 and verse 13. For you have delivered my soul from death. Yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. God in His wisdom delivers our feet from foolishness and darkness, just like He delivered David from doing a foolish thing. And so we look to God and His wisdom to deliver us from foolishness and from darkness. You've delivered my soul from that death. You've delivered my soul from that darkness, from that foolishness, and you've kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Let's bow. And let me just say this. If you are taking notes, maybe that's help you out there. But let's ask God to give us wisdom. And let's ask God to help us not to act foolishly. Let's bow in prayer together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. It's so living. It's so powerful. It's so practical. Lord, help us not to walk in the way of foolishness, but to follow You, to walk in the way of wisdom. And Father, to learn from Nabal and to learn from Abigail. And Lord, help us to remember that You give us the canary that sings, the bird that sings, that points the way of wisdom, that we might not act foolishly, that we might not follow in the path of foolishness. Lord, help us, we ask You. Lord, we need Your help. Make us wise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.